If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome to the She Blows It podcast. I'm your host, Carla, and we are here on episode number 7, Suffering in Silence, and paying homage to Mental Health Awareness Month. So according to NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, approximately 51 million Americans suffer from some type of mental illness. So on this episode, I want to shed light on the nuances of mental illness, how it isn't as noticeable as we think, and I want to provide resources from NAMI for those who struggle with mental health. But before we get into it, if you haven't already done so, be sure to check out the latest content for this podcast on Instagram, @SheBlowsIt_pod. And be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on all platforms, including Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are available. Also, catch your weekly dose of sanity with me, co-hosting the Grown Man Logic podcast with the crew, Dewan, Kendra, and Eric, live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can catch that show again every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the She Blows It podcast page on Instagram. And again, to find that page on Instagram, look it up at @SheBlowsIt_pod. The stigma around mental illness portrays a person suffering with it as being crazy, incorrigible, and just completely psychotic. Now, although there are disorders where psychotic features are exhibited, not every person struggling with a mental illness is tied up in a straitjacket. That's just not the case. There are those who suffer from the debilitating factors stemming from mental illness and who are unable to function in society, going in and out of treatment centers and relying on family for support and help through those dark moments. Then there are those who suffer from mental illnesses such as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, autism, and schizophrenia, who function on a daily basis, but are completely dying on the inside from attempting to battle the stifling symptoms of helplessness, hopelessness, voices in their head, and feelings of grandeur, depending on what mental illness they suffer from. These are things that people do suffer from in silence. You don't necessarily see everyone who has a mental illness walking around belligerent, being absurd, or acting out of the social norm or out of character. I did this episode, and I wanted to do this episode because this entire topic hits on a personal level, because I too struggle with the highs and lows of bipolar disorder. And let me tell you, people don't understand how exhausting it is more than anything to deal with either or and struggle with finding a middle ground in this. So between waking up in the middle of the night, or as soon as I open my eyes, drenched in sweat because I was anxious in my sleep and my heart is pounding out of my chest, when I wake up in the morning, it's just a stifling feeling after you've basically been fighting in your sleep. It's stifling to feel like a semi-truck is going forward and then in reverse and then forward and then reverse and then forward and then in reverse a million times when you have to wake up an adult, because these feelings make you feel like fuck, I can't do anything. Like, I can't even get out of it. These moments are so draining. And once you gather your bearings, or for me personally, once I gather my bearings, the vibe is still like slightly off in my day, and parts of my normal self fall by the wayside. And when I say normal self, just my daily functioning and how I would like to feel, as opposed to how I'm feeling at that moment after having a panic attack or after, you know, experiencing anxiety or depression, what have you. Some days I feel like I can wake up and take over the world, and then on others, I just simply want to climb under that same rock Nina Simone was talking about. That same rock Nina Simone would frequently look for once the mania passes. And I know, like, you guys are probably like, why is she laughing? Well, I'm laughing because I don't want to cry about it. And when addressing mania, let's talk about mania, because so many people are under the impression that mania looks like just complete psychotic behavior. Everyone thinks that mania is a state of psychosis. And in some cases, mania does turn into psychosis, because a symptom of that is lacking sleep and hyperactivity. So anyone who hasn't slept in 4 to 5 days would be psychotic. Like, think about how you feel just losing a night of sleep. So when you multiply that times 5, that's a different scenario. So I don't know how this happened, but I know it emerged and or came into fruition from traumas that I experienced growing up as young as 9 years old. So it's not clear if, like, it's a genetic thing or not, but that's not the most important part of this conversation. It doesn't matter whether it's genetic or not. It's here, so that's just something that has to be dealt with. And again, mania is not all psychosis. And again, mania is feeling energetic, feeling like you can do multiple things at once, feeling like you can just take over and just crush all of your goals in one shot. And that's literally what it is. And then many people who experience it, they're in go mode, so they keep going, and then they don't sleep. So that was kind of where I was at with that, as far as like the psychotic part and how it could become psychotic. Because when you're going and on go mode and you're not sleeping, that would be a way that it turns into psychosis. So anyway, I told you there's no middle ground. So by the time the mania is over, boom, here comes depression's sad ass trying to bring us down. So depression goes way beyond just being sad and crying all the time. Like, you lose the desire to do things you love, just for no reason at all. And it also impacts your body. Like with me, I'll get headaches and fatigue because I have to, like, really, really push myself to get out of bed some days. And that's perfectly fine. I'm still alive. I'm still here. And I really don't like to go this in depth about myself, but this is a very important conversation because so many people are afraid to speak out on this topic, including me. At a certain point, I've lost friends because of how much I would isolate myself. I was ashamed of telling people of what was really going on with me in the past. And honestly, y'all, I've been called some pretty harsh names, and I've been judged based on my condition. And when I look back at it now, I'm grateful for those who judge me. I'm grateful for those who criticize me because it helped me understand that we all have a problem, whether it's clinical or not. How messed up are you that you go and criticize or try to bring somebody down? And we'll get into that in a minute. Let me not get off track. But I'm so grateful for those people because it just helps me understand again that everybody has an issue. It shows you how also insensitive people are. And excuse my French, but people really don't give a fuck about what you're dealing with. And that's what's really frustrating when dealing with mental illness, and especially when it's those who are close to you. When those people use your triggers against you to get a reaction, to say you haven't changed, to say you haven't done anything different. In my opinion, that's not fair. That's not nice. And it's just a slippery slope, because if you know what triggers a person, or if you know what harms a person, if you really care, why do people purposefully do those things to other people? So, I mean, one of the reasons could be because, again, everybody has a fucking problem. So a lot of people out here have problems that they don't want to address, that they don't want to identify, but they can turn around to you and tell you what your problem is. So that is just simply like a malicious tap dance on somebody's emotions. And then that's what leads to a lot of people becoming suicidal because of that. How do I know? Because that whole scenario that I just explained to you applied to me during a very dark period in my life. So I'm not just sitting here blowing hot smoke up everyone's ass. I'm simply expressing this because I hope that this message touches one person in this world. Like, I don't care if it's just one person, then I did my job. And I want people to also know that they aren't alone in their struggles with mental health. These are the things that we need to pay attention to as a society. And I'm extremely happy that now this is something that is on the radar for the world to understand and comprehend. But do people really understand, or are they refusing to understand? We live in a society where media heavily influences the thought process of millions of people. People will campaign and advocate for things that they really don't believe in, for political gain, for personal gain, and they will be the ones who turn around and have family members struggling with mental illness, and they are the ones who don't understand the concept. They are the ones who have no clue, but yet they're insensitive to their own people, but they advocate for it. That is so confusing to me. I can't stand when people do that. And that's just a pet peeve of mine. If you can't support your own family or your own people or your spouse or your loved one through their mental illness, then don't portray and put on that show like you're about that life, because you're not. And second, to truly understand the nuances, you have to do some type of research to understand what it is, especially if you're not encountering that head on. Are you tired of feeling a sense of negative energy around you? Perhaps you'd like to manifest abundance daily, or you want a smoke cleansing your vibe? If that's what you're about, head over to Liberated. Let me tell you a little bit more about Liberated. Liberated was founded in 2017 by yours truly, yogi, podcaster, and mom, Carla Coley,
through a journey of self-exploration beyond the realms of hell. A disease of perfection inspired Carla to rebel against everything she was taught to believe about religion, socialization, and understanding. With that epiphany, Liberated was born. And it was born from a mind infused with questions on establishing a life beyond a social construct. Amidst the chaos in the world, Liberated provides peace of mind through metaphysical aspects of sage and incense. The benefits of yoga is not only art, but a self-soothing mechanism. As a fashion statement through swanky-looking yet inexpensive t-shirts and knickknacks. And a source of information through blogs on methods to keep your work in progress state of mind clear, conscious, and elevated to higher vibrations. This concoction is what makes us liberated, and this concoction is liberated. Head over to www.liberated.com. That's www.liberated.com. It's spelled LIB, the number 3, the letter R, the number 8, ED.com. That's www.liberated.com. For more information, click the link in the description box. Yes, guys, I know it's difficult to spell, but hey, we liberated. Now, as you guys can see, I am authentically recording this with no filter and no edit. So you'll hear doors opening, you'll hear alarms going off, you'll hear all kinds of stuff in the background. I am not editing this episode because mental health is something that you can't edit. So I'm not going to edit this episode. But let's get back on track, because you guys know I get off track sometimes, just a little bit. I want to go back to the last episode. And if you haven't heard episode number 6, To Love Thyself, make sure you go check that out. That episode highlights how we don't understand the value of loving ourselves, or didn't, rather, let me rephrase that, how we didn't understand the value of loving ourselves outside of testing, homework, and discipline in school, and how it was just reiterated time and time again that we need to take care of ourselves for a test, but we don't need to take care of ourselves for GP, general principle, right? And in the episode, I did reference some celebrities who struggle with mental illness. And I talked about Dwayne Johnson. When you look at successful people, a lot of the times you see their success and that's all you see, because people show you what they want you to see. So you don't necessarily see what it is that they're going through, because when you see posts or when you watch them in movies or when you see them in interviews, they're happy, or they're portraying that they are happy, and they're not telling us everything. Who would have known? I would have never imagined Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, struggled with depression in his 20s. And he talked about that on Oprah's Master Class. And I think for him and other men, that is important, that is something that is discussed, because we're in a society where, and I'm not trying to go on the gender role path at all, but I have to throw this in here. I just really have to. A lot of men carry the weight and the burden of a lot of things in life. So they feel like they have to be strong, and going to a therapist makes them weak. That goes back to like the cultural factors. In some cultures, in some communities, seeing a therapist and seeking help for mental health is condemned, is shunned, because you deal with your problems. Whatever goes on in this house stays in this house. And I know some of y'all have heard that. And to an extent, certain things that do go on in family it should remain sacred. You don't need to like air out and expose your family's business. However, when you're faced with real life challenges and real life obstacles that you can't overcome on your own, a little help is necessary, and it's okay. Not only for men, but for women too, for women in marginalized communities, or for women and men who grew up in those communities or who grew up with family who basically told them that, you know, this is not acceptable. You don't need to go see a therapist. You need to talk to God. God will solve everything. And I'm not knocking anybody's religion. For all of y'all who know me, you guys know that I don't identify with the Christian faith. However, it's a cultural thing in the Christian faith in specific communities or in certain communities where you don't need to talk to a doctor. The doctor isn't God. You need to talk to God because God will fix your mental illness. Praying will fix your mental illness. The universe will fix your mental illness. Medications will fix your mental illness, which sometimes they help. Medications do help, but what people don't understand is that medication is not the fix-all. Medication is not a magical pill that's going to make your situation change. It will help you mentally, it'll help you physically, but it's still up to us who struggle to look deep within as far as we can to make subtle changes gradually so that those little subtle changes become big changes. And anybody who is listening right now, if you are struggling, please do yourself some justice and talk about it. Just talk about that shit. For so long, I was so afraid to come on here and be transparent and be open with people because I believed that me saying it out loud, first of all, is uncomfortable. It's fuck. It's so uncomfortable. But just the judgment from people. But here's what I've learned throughout this journey or this 10-year journey, because I wasn't diagnosed with bipolar disorder until like I was 20 or 21, somewhere around that area, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in my early to mid 20s. And what I've learned over the course of that time is that I don't really care what anybody has to say about my mental health anymore. As long as I am in control, as long as I present myself in the way that I believe is sufficient for me and for the goals that I strive to achieve, that doesn't define me. And that's why I wanted to pay homage to mental health, because it doesn't define you either if you're struggling. It doesn't define any of us. What defines us is what we allow to define us. So the name, having the diagnosis, is just whatever. Take it with a grain of salt and do whatever works best for you therapeutically to get through it. And I'm so grateful for everyone who appreciates this story. I'm so grateful for anyone who is moved by this story. I don't want any of my followers, anyone in my audience, to be ashamed of their mental health. I don't want anyone to be ashamed of their diagnosis, because you ultimately control your outcome. Now, if you want the skinny on ways you can engage your mind and your body, engage your thoughts, and actually put action into your thoughts, figuring out, you know, what triggers you, figuring out what bothers you, writing things down, keeping a journal. I have a friend, her name is Brittany, and she is the host of the Access Granite Solutions podcast. And she is a life strategist, and she's been on my episodes. She was on last season, on season 5, on the Lost Files of Las Tres Putas And we basically just, you know, showed our personalities. We talked. But aside from that, her message goes very deep. And I learned a lot from her. So that is why I am sending you guys over to her. She has a way of therapizing you without having to go to the therapist. She's so motivational. She's so cute. She's so smart. And she has so many resources. So if you want to take it upon yourself and do some self-work without having to go to a therapist, if the stigma is what you're worried about, make sure you go check out Access Granite Solutions podcast. That is available on Apple, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be available. You can find her on Instagram at accessgranted_solutions. And that is accessgranted_solutions. This weekend, she launched a planning calendar just to kind of help organize your mind, because a lot of the times, especially with me and my anxiety, I get scatterbrained. I get thrown off track and I have so much going on at once. I want to accomplish so much at one time. And this weekend, she dropped a SMART goals worksheet where you outline and you define your goals and you have to apply those 5 SMART goals to the goals to make sure that they're realistic and to put them into perspective. There's way more content out there from her as far as giving yourself grace, as far as just her outlook and experience with mental health, her outlook and experience with addiction. So y'all go be sure to check out Brittany at Access Granted Solutions. And again, you can find her on Instagram at Access Granted, accessgranted_solutions. So if you need additional resources, the statistics that I had in the beginning of the show, just circling back there in terms of the 51 million Americans who struggle with mental health illness, you can also visit the NAMI website, which I will have in the description box, and you can read different blogs from other people. And if you're a writer or a podcaster listening right now and you feel like you want to contribute to their blog, it's really cool. They allow you to submit different blog submissions to share your story, to share stories about maybe your family, or to just share how you have a loved one suffering from mental illness and to share those experiences. So I encourage all of you to take care of yourself. And as my girl Brittany said, give yourself some grace. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode on the She Blows It podcast, unfiltered, unedited, straightforward, and raw. Be sure to subscribe. You can catch me live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I co-host the Grown Man Logic podcast. Be sure to also go follow the Grown Man Logic podcast on Instagram, at Grown Man Logic. And the next episode that you'll be hearing will feature a special guest. And there you have it. She drops the mic. She blows it. I'll talk to you guys next week.